A thorn was given me in the flesh, a messenger of Satan to harass me, to keep me from becoming conceited. 3 times I pleaded with the Lord about this, that this should leave me. But he said to me, "My grace is sufficient for you. My power is made perfect in weakness. Therefore, I will boast all the more gladly of my weaknesses, so that the power of Christ may rest upon me. For the sake of Christ, then, I am content with weaknesses, insults, hardships, persecutions, and calamities. For when I am weak, then I am strong." This is the word of the Lord.
The good news according to St. Mark. Jesus went away from there and came to his hometown, and his disciples followed him. And on the Sabbath he began to teach in the synagogue, and many who heard him were astonished, saying, "Where did this man get these things? What is the wisdom given to him? How are such mighty works done by his hands? Is not this the carpenter, the son of Mary, and brother of James, and Joseph, and Judas, and Simon? And are not his sisters with us here?" And they took offense at him. And Jesus said to them, "A prophet is not without honor except in his hometown, and among his relatives, and in his own household." And he could do no mighty work there, except that he laid his hands on a few sick people and healed them. And he marveled because of their unbelief. And he went about among the villages teaching, and he called the 12 and began to send them out 2 by 2, and gave them authority over the unclean spirits. He charged them to take nothing for their journey except a staff, no bread, no bag, no money in their belts, but to wear sandals and not put on 2 tunics. And he said to them, "Whenever you enter a house, stay there until you depart from there. And if any place will not receive you and they will not listen to you, when you leave, shake off the dust that is on your feet as a testimony against them." So they went out and proclaimed that people should repent. And they cast out many demons and anointed with oil many who were sick and healed them. This is the gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, O Christ. May the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. We do not advertise our limitations. We do not flaunt our handicaps. We do not brag or boast about our weaknesses. From athletics to business to the military to life itself and everything else I could think of, we try to maximize our strengths and minimize our weaknesses. And generally, I think that's a pretty safe strategy to pursue, but it's not the strategy that the Apostle Paul followed. The Apostle Paul did the opposite. He did not seek to aggrandize himself by pointing to his accomplishments, but rather he boasted about his weaknesses. Rather than hide them, he was very transparent about them. The Apostle Paul had discovered a truth that is very hard to understand and even harder to accept. That it is in our weaknesses that we most experience the grace and strength of God. It is as though the grace and strength of God interlock with human lives precisely at the point of mortal weakness. Only the Holy Spirit can bring a person to believe that and to trust in God in the midst of weaknesses and adversities and reversals and hardships in life. So our text for today is the second Bible reading from 2 Corinthians chapter 12. And the heart of chapter 12 is verse 9, where Jesus said to the Apostle Paul, "My grace is sufficient for you, for my power is made perfect in weakness." As we read that scripture reading today, did you notice the quotation marks around it? It's a direct quote by the Apostle Paul from Jesus, the risen Christ. It evidently was a private communication from Jesus directly to the Apostle Paul. This statement is found nowhere else. It is the only Jesus quote in all 13 of Paul's collected writings in the New Testament. He certainly based his preaching and his teachings upon the message of the gospel, but this is the only direct Jesus quote in all of his letters. Some of you may be familiar with what's called a red letter edition of the New Testament, where all of the words of Jesus, you know, are printed in red. And so if you read through Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, there would be a lot of words printed in red letters because they state what Jesus taught and preached. But in all 13 letters of the Apostle Paul, this is the only place, the only sentence that you would see printed in red letters. The Apostle Paul proclaimed Christ crucified, which was a stumbling block to the Jews and foolishness to the Gentiles. And it was Christ crucified. It was precisely in that event, in what appeared to be weakness, that God most clearly displayed his grace and strength and power. And now Paul, with this statement, this quote from Jesus, applies the message of Christ crucified to his own personal life. This was our Lord's response to Paul's thrice repeated prayerful request to remove that thorn in the flesh that so plagued him. It's a pretty famous passage, the thorn in the flesh, and there's been quite a bit of speculation as to what that thorn in the flesh exactly was. Some of the speculations might be epileptic seizures. Other people think it was a vision problem of some kind, or perhaps malaria, or perhaps a facial disfigurement. My own personal idea is that it was sick migraine headaches. It's probably good that we don't know exactly what that thorn in the flesh was, because it can apply to a lot of different situations. The actual Greek word means a stake, a wooden stake that would have been used for torture, and also a splinter. So when I take those meanings together, it seems to me that whatever that thorn in the flesh was, it was some sort of constant chronic irritation that on occasions was exacerbated and completely laid the Apostle Paul out so that he was able to do absolutely nothing. He was immobilized with pain. And for someone who wanted to evangelize the then known world, we can only imagine how devastating this was to him emotionally and spiritually. The Apostle Paul says that this was a messenger of Satan. It sort of reminds us of the Old Testament book of Job, where God grants to Satan the permission to tempt his servant Job, but within certain limits and parameters. And so ultimately, I think Paul did understand that whatever this thorn in the flesh was came from the hand of God. And that would fall in line with the sermon that you heard last Sunday from Pastor Mike. That sometimes God uses things like this for a positive purpose in our lives. When bad things occur in our lives, God can turn those things into positives. St. Paul could have allowed this thorn in the flesh to cause him to feel embittered or resentful. He could have taken the position of, well, life is just isn't fair. Why do these kinds of things always happen to me? Or if God really cared about me, he would take this away. Satan wanted to use it to get the Apostle Paul down. But instead, it put the Apostle Paul on his knees. And so he prayed fervently that God would take it away. And the answer that he received from Jesus was not just a plain no, but also, my grace is sufficient for you, for my power is made perfect in your weakness. And something we need to make sure we understand is that even though Paul boasts about his weaknesses, he was not a weakling. In the verses right before 2 Corinthians chapter 12, the Apostle Paul gives us a catalog of some of the obstacles that he faced in his apostolic ministry. I'm just going to read quickly over those verses. 5 times I've received at the hands of the Jews the 40 lashes less one. 3 times I have been beaten with rods. 1 I was stoned. 3 times I have been shipwrecked. A night and a day I have been adrift at sea, on frequent journeys, in danger from rivers, dangers from robbers, dangers from my own people, danger from the Gentiles, danger in the city, danger in the wilderness, danger at sea, danger from false brethren, in toil and hardship, through many a sleepless night, in hunger and thirst, often without food and cold and exposure, and apart from other things, there is the daily pressure upon me of my anxiety for all the churches. I think Paul was what we might refer to as a pretty tough guy. And someone once said that Paul was like a Timex watch. He could take a licking, but he would keep on ticking. He was unstoppable. In addition to that resolve, he had a powerful intellect. He had leadership qualities. He was known at many places throughout Palestine, Asia Minor, and Europe. If there would have been a Time magazine of that day, he would have been the person of the year multiple times. And on top of all that, the apostle tells us in the opening verses of chapter 12 about a vision and a revelation that he was granted in which he was caught up to the third heaven. It's an autobiographical statement in the third person. He was caught up to paradise itself, where he heard things and saw things that cannot be expressed. I wonder if in that experience the Apostle Paul saw Jesus, the risen Christ, face to face. And if the risen Christ didn't show to the Apostle Paul the wounds in his hands and his feet and his side. And because of all of these things, because of the obstacles that he overcame in his missionary work, because of his intellect and his leadership abilities, and because of this tremendous vision, the Apostle Paul could have said, look at me. I'm really special. But the Apostle Paul knew that it wasn't about him. It was about the Lord Jesus Christ. He was just a tool, a wire, if you will, that carries current The power is in the current. The power is in the Lord that flowed through him to others. So Paul could then say, I will boast all the more gladly of my weaknesses so that the power of Christ may rest upon me. St. Paul believed that God used weaknesses to first conceal and then reveal his grace and power, like he did on the cross, revealing his grace and strength in the woundedness and the dying of Jesus the Christ, who is the power of God unto salvation for all who trust and believe in him. That is the chief article of the Christian faith. And we receive forgiveness of sins full and free as we accept that into our hearts and lives and the gift of eternal life. This was a message that the Apostle Paul preached to thousands of people, that he wrote letters about, that informs and guides Christians around the world still today, including us. And St. Paul learned the truth of God's power perfected in weakness in his own personal life, in his human frailty. Magnified by that thorn in the flesh, he came to know the truth of Jesus' words, my grace is sufficient for you, for my power is perfected in your weaknesses. A number of years ago, I was working in a special program at Oregon State Hospital in Salem as a chaplain's assistant, and I was assigned to cover various parts of Oregon State Hospital as a chaplain. And one of the individuals that came under my purview was a guy by the name of Dan. He had some Lutheran background, and it may have been why he was assigned to me. And he was being transitioned out of the forensics unit at the state hospital, which means that he had committed a crime, but instead of going to prison because of his mental illness, he was put in the state hospital. And now he was being transitioned back into the community after serving quite a lengthy time in the state hospital. And I was to go visit him. So every couple weeks I would touch base with Dan in what was called the Transitional Living Center on the grounds of Oregon State Hospital. And we developed a relationship. And I would go and have a devotion with him, and we would talk, and I would try to support him the best I could. And one time I went to visit him, and Dan, how are you doing today? And he said, well, I'm really tired out. I just started a job. Oh. Well, tell me about your job. Well, he said, I work 12 hours a week. And I thought to myself, well, 12 hours a week and he's tired. I know a lot of people who work 12 hours every day. And I said, well, tell me about your job, Dan. So he said, well, I get on the bus and I'm going to work. And I start to think that everybody on that bus knows exactly who I am and knows exactly what I did, and it takes all my energy just to stay in my seat because I want to get up and jump off the bus. He said, I get to work, and I'm emptying out waste paper baskets. And I start to think that all the people in this room know exactly who I am. And they know exactly what I did. And it takes all my energy not to run out the doors and run away. Then he said, I get on the bus after work, and I'm sitting there, and the same thought comes into my head again, and it takes all the energy I have just to stay in my seat. So he says, when I get home, I'm completely tired out. Well, I could understand then what he meant. And then he said something to me I will never, ever forget. He said, "But chaplain, you know, I thank God for my mental illness." I said, "Why do you thank God for your mental illness?" And he said, "I thank God for my mental illness because without it, I wouldn't realize how much I needed God in my life." Well, I felt about 2 inches tall. Dan had learned, like the Apostle Paul had learned, that it was precisely at the point of weakness in our mortal, frail, fallible lives. It's there where God interlocks his strength with our lives. At the end of the fourth chapter of the book of Hebrews, it says, "We do not have a high priest who is unable to sympathize with us in our weaknesses, but one who was like us in every way, yet was without sin. Let us therefore, with confidence, draw near to the throne of grace and receive help in our time of need." Remember the promise that Jesus gives to you. "My grace is sufficient for you, for my power is made perfect in weakness." May the peace of God, which passes all human understanding, keep our hearts and minds through faith in Christ Jesus. Amen. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious unto you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. Amen. Amen.